Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Make Comics podcast from Comics Experience, the show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. My name is Joey Groh, and I am joined by Comics Experiences and CEX Publishing and indie writer and man about town, Andy Schmidt, to talk this week about something that I don't know that we've really gotten that much into before, Andy. We're talking about figure drawing. And that is, as a concept, is something that I feel like me as not an artist is like, yeah, figure drawing, that makes sense. But when you really start to...
It really does make sense.
But when you really start to get into it, like looking at other things that I do as far as learning fundamentals and thinking about basic stuff, not just for writing, but also for production and putting things together or thinking about how, you know, a scene flows or design... Figure drawing, you know, you and I talking about it before the show, it really is a fundamental of drawing.
Well, yeah. Yes, it is. I mean, especially if you're drawing humans.
Yes.
I mean, it is kind of one of those sort of basic art classes, right? If you go to art school for illustration, like you're going to wind up taking figure drawing and perspective and life drawing. And like, it's just one of those foundational courses, which is one of the reasons why it's one of our foundational courses. But comics, because they're stories, right? I mean, they're almost always about people. They may be about anthropomorphic animals or what have you, mm-hmm. but learning how to draw people is really pretty important if you want to do this and work on multiple projects, you know, whether you want to do it for a living or you just want to work on multiple projects of your own.
Right.
Learning figure drawing is really important. And I think one of the reasons why I wanted to kind of highlight it this week was, well, for one thing, we've got a course coming up on it, which starts towards the end of March, taught by Philip, who's awesome. But also to kind of get into why specifically it's important for comics. Like, I think it does intuitively make sense that figure drawing is important generally for artists, but because comics are story driven, right? You're constantly having to draw people over and over, which is one thing, but you really need to internalize in your brain how the body works, as well as how physics works. And so there's tons of photo reference resources out there, and there's nothing wrong with using photo reference, but you can't rely on it in order to do your illustration. Even if you're doing your own, even if you got friends or models that come over or whatever, you photograph them, you get the right angle exactly, like it's still, you still have to understand the physicality, the weight of the objects, the momentum, if they're in motion. You have to understand not just that those things exist, but how they interact and how they interlock. So that, you know, like, you know, let's say I'm drawing a picture of Batman in a fight, right? And he's throwing a punch. Well, it's one thing for me to stand in front of my mirror and act like I'm throwing a punch, freeze frame, right? You know, where I want.
Right.
And let's just say I can just instantly snapshot what I see in the mirror and there it is. And I got it. But what I don't have is the momentum of that punch, right? I don't have how that affects the cape and the cowl and how they might be flowing or wrapping around the body because the whole body is twisting to throw the punch or what have you, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have any of that, the same way that you don't have the person you're throwing a punch at, like, how are they reacting to it? Whereas if you have to pose that person completely differently, you know, or you're posing that way, again, you're just lacking that movement. How is your hair flipping up because you're jerking your head back to dodge that fist?
Great. Or,
you know, and you certainly know, is there spit flying or, you know, whatever. So all of those sorts of things, as well as angle and all the thing, if you understand how the muscles attached to the bone, you know, what the skeleton looks like, how the muscles attached to the bones, you know, where the major organs are and that sort of thing, you can do all of that work in your head. Then the photo reference might help you layer on top of it. Then the photo reference comes in like, I want to nail this expression right on the face, or what is that fist going to look like, you know, foreshortened. And then you might want to, you know, do a photograph that way. So you're using the photo reference to complement the underdrawing that you've crafted in your brain and then drawn onto the page, rather than the other way around, rather than going, I have this photo, now I'll craft my page around the fact that I have a character at this angle in this position. And the difference is really pretty stark. Again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with photo reference. In fact, in the course, one of the things Philip, I think, teaches is you know, kind of how to use it properly, right? And there's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of benefits using photos just to, like, you know, let's say I know how the scapula connects to whatever, but, you know, then you see it in the photograph, you're like, okay, this, you know, it helps you internalize, it helps you make more sense out of it. But yeah, understanding all of those things and being able to construct, and that's really what it is, it's constructing from a frame, it's constructing from the skeleton, and then it's the musculature goes on top of that, and how does it wrap around this barrel shaped rib cage, and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And then, you know, beyond that, then there's the clothes. Like, are you wearing a jacket? Are you wearing a cape and a cowl? Are you, you know, are you holding an object that, like a baseball bat, that has mass to it? And what does that look like? Mm. You know, and the more of that that you can do in your brain, the more organic, the more natural it's going to look than if you're just using, than if you're just using photo reference. You know, again, I don't need to get into a debate about, is photo reference good or bad? Photo reference is just a tool, right? Like any other tool, when used properly, it's great.
Right.
But I feel like I see a lot of artists that use photo reference sort of like using a hammer instead of a screwdriver. Like, I kind of gets the job done, but not exactly the way it should. Like, it may have really damaged the wall there. So it's kind of that, you know, that sort of a thing. And once you get really, the other thing it does is it'll help speed up your productivity a ton. And that's not that big of a deal for a lot of people. But if you are trying to do freelance work, deadlines are a real thing. And also, the more you can produce, the more money you can make, because you're producing more stuff that people are buying. But not to make it sound like this is all just like a manufacturing product line, because it's not an assembly line. It's just that, you know, if you can learn to do things in a more efficient manner, it's probably going to be pretty helpful for you as well. And so, to me, learning human anatomy, and really that's when I was growing up, when I was a kid and I was reading tons and tons of comics, primarily superhero comics when I was younger, what the thing that I kept working on in my own art was, I was always drawing people over and over and over again. I was just fascinated by how that worked, how the body worked, and putting people in different directions. I remember, you know, I haven't been a professional art. I've never really been a professional artist in the sense of as an illustrator. But I remember when I was working at Hasbro, and I was for a time I was the director of a toy design team there. And for like sort of like a team building exercise, we all kind of went out one day, went out to lunch, and, you know, offsite and everything. And we were all going to sketch all this different stuff. We're all just going to show each other what we're doing. And so we're all doing warm-up sketches. And I remember, like, you know, and everybody was doing super cool stuff. I remember they got to me, because nobody knew that I had ever drawn anything in my entire life. And I was doing warm-up sketches of these detailed drawings of hands in, you know, various positions with the fingers and different things. And all the artists in the room were like, you did what? Like, you warmed up by drawing hands? Like, I hate drawing hands. And I was like, yeah, no, I just find them fascinating. Like, it's not that my drawings were particularly, like, they weren't great drawings of hands or anything. They were warm-up sketches. But, like, they were just all kind of laughing at, like, that, like, okay, well, you know, you can hang out with us and sketch whatever you want, which was high praise coming from those guys, because they're super talented folks. And so we, you know, it was great. It did exactly what it was supposed to do, right? I got us all talking about our past experience and stuff, and then they realized that I had, you know, something of an art background, not as extensive as any of theirs, of course, but it was really cool, and it led to a whole conversation about the importance of understanding how things work. You know, then they went into, you know, they taught, you know, we had one guy that's just, he's just this awesome technical artist, like drawing machinery and how gears work, which as a toy designer, you can imagine is super helpful. You know, just how everything would connect in the actual toy and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, he was talking about how, like, he was always just fascinated with industrial design. When he was growing up as a kid, he was always drawing machines and guitars and, you know, like, just interesting objects, lots of vehicles and stuff like that. So, you know, and you know, my realization in that moment was like, oh yeah, well, the comics artist has to do all of it. Like, you've got to be able to draw the cars, you've got to be able to draw the airplanes, the buildings, the guitars. You've got to be able to draw people. You've got to be able to draw environments and mountains and forests and squirrels, and you've got to be able to do all of it. And you've got to do it all in such a way that it all looks right together.
Right.
And so it really is it's a really interesting discipline to have to do that all. But I think that, you know, the key ingredients from an illustration standpoint, you know, sort of separating as much as I can from sort of the storytelling aspects of the art in comics are anatomy and perspective and environments. You know, if you can get good at those three and storytelling, if you've got those, you're going to do fine. You'll be good. You'll be good to go.
This morning, as of this recording, I was reading a Twitter feed that I like quite a lot. It's called The Claremont Run. It looks at the X-Men run of Chris Claremont from an academic standpoint, with a bunch of academics talking about X-Men and various X-Men spinoffs. And today's was about the concept of the all-new, all-different X-Force that Peter David and Larry Stroman did, came out of something that Claremont was looking to do. At least the first issue was based around a concept of his, which I didn't know anything about.
And I didn't know it either.
I love that run, the Peter David, Larry Stroman. But I was so in the mindset of thinking about Larry Stroman and style today, getting into this discussion. You know, the big names in comics, I think, that come to mind sometimes are like a Jack Kirby or like a Mike Mignola, the folks that, and Larry Stroman was kind of what set this off. Folks that don't always, they're not trying to draw realistic in the sense of, you know, maybe Kirby more so than the other two examples. But I feel like when I look at their stuff, and I've not looked at it academically or otherwise, but just in light of this discussion, you know, none of it feels off for people that have a very distinct style, that you can look at a Jack Kirby and go, it's Kirby. You can look at a Stroman and go, it's a Stroman, or name any of the other artists that you know. It seems like a lot of those folks at least have a basic understanding of anatomy, even though their style might not belie that on the surface. So I don't know if that's something that you've looked into. I'm sure over your career, you've worked with a variety of folks that are super style oriented. But it's interesting to try to start picking that apart and go, I wonder how much they studied X and Y, or how much background they had in X and Y to arrive at, you know, a Hellboy or the Thing punching, or, you know, fill in the blank.
Well, I think the thing is that, you know, the artists that really have that staying power, you know, and can keep up with things, like, they have a style that is built upon, you know, the solid structures. So they've learned all of the things, you know, that we're talking about. They've learned storytelling, they've learned anatomy, they've learned perspective and environments, they've learned about, you know, technical drawing. And then they've stylized it. But it starts with those foundational elements that they get stylized. And those artists that haven't sort of constructed that way, you tend to see that they don't know how to do those things, because they're confronted, because it's stories and it's page after page after page, shot after shot after shot.
Yeah.
They're confronted with things that they don't have the photo reference for, or they don't have the frame of reference, whether it's photo or otherwise, for. And so then they kind of fake it, right? And you can usually tell when they're like cheating something. You're like, oh, you don't actually know how an elbow works, right? You just kind of, you know, or you're hiding it in shadow, or your character is, you know, the panels always end at the bottom right before they have to draw the feet because they don't know how to draw feet or whatever it is. You know, so it is that sort of thing. You can usually tell, and maybe you can't always tell like on page one that somebody's kind of faking it. But you get a sense of it, you know. And some of my favorite artists are fairly grounded. Like if your sliding scale stylistically is, you know, on the one hand cartoony and on the other hand representational, meaning sort of more photorealistic.
Right.
You know, I tend to like people that are probably past the midpoint towards the representational tends to be generally where I want to be, which is not to say that there aren't cartoons. Like, my favorite cartoonist of all time is Bill Watterson, who's 100% a cartoonist.
Sure.
But, you know, I think of, like, David Lloyd and V for Vendetta, where the construction is great, but it's also very stylized, especially what he's doing with lights and darks and with the color and all that sort of stuff. Like, very, very stylized, but it's so solid underneath all of that.
Yeah.
That he's taking those principles and then he's grafting on top of them, right? Or he's morphing them to his own stylistic purposes. But you have to start from knowing what you're doing. Like, it's similar to the old adage of you have to understand the rule in order to be able to break it. And it's not breaking the rules. It's internalizing them so much that you can recreate them with such skill that you can also you can morph them and you can modify them, but they retain, keep coming back to the word solid, but like it retains the integrity, I think, of somebody that knows how all of those things work. You know, Jim Chung, I love Jim Chung's art.
Yeah.
It's very technical, like it's very solid, you know, but it's fantastic. And he is able to take, you know, what could be very wooden, stiff drawings, and because of his where he angles the camera and the way he positions the forms and the mass that he gives them, because he really does know this stuff. Like I've watched him draw, and it's amazing just to watch. and it's all, you know, it's all right there. So you kind of look at, you know, I look at those types of artists, and it's just so clear that they know that stuff. And if, when you're on the more representational scale, like it gets harder and harder to hide it. Right. Like if you think about it, like Steve McNiven, like the line work is so clean that, you know, any misstep and you're like, that doesn't look right. But, you know, he's obviously very good. Doesn't make mistakes. whereas, you know, you think of somebody else like a Chris Pacciallo, who's a phenomenally talented artist and does this amazing and beautiful work. But it's not as far on the representational scale mostly. And so,
right.
But you look at what he does and he absolutely knows. It's so clear that he knows exactly how all of those things work. Those fundamental building blocks to being a comic book artist and a great storyteller, those people all still are building their styles and are building their work off of those foundational skills, like figure drawing, like perspective, you know, like all those things.
That's one of the funny side benefits of a community like a Comics Experience Workshop, or I'm sure other communities, where you can go in and see critiques of art if you're a writer or a letterer or a colorist or an editor, not necessarily an artist, just like an artist could go check out all those different sections. And a lot of times that is a common critique, is your anatomy's off or this anatomy doesn't feel quite right. You know, getting into not like even, hey, your style is not my jam. It's, well, the anatomy feels off. It's a very basic fundamental principle that, you know, as a writer and somebody trying to understand how to make comics, it's beneficial for me to at least go in and try to explore that a little bit to understand, okay, well, why is it off? You know, how can I develop my eye more to understanding? And, you know, big picture always is about trying to make better stories, make better comics. But how can I start to recognize that, even though I'm not a trained artist doing a figure drawing class or doing any kind of drawing class? It's interesting to drill down into, and that's, you know, just talking about that surface thing of the artists that we've mentioned, you know, they don't feel off. You know, I might not like style sometimes, but I think there's a difference in, it's not my favorite style versus it just doesn't seem like it's quite there.
Yeah, I think too, you also wind up asking the question, like, is the anatomy really off, or is it just the style is not to your liking? Like, sometimes it can be difficult. You know, if you don't have an art background or art training, it can be difficult to actually effectively and accurately diagnose what it is about the art that's not working for you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just taste. Sometimes it's like, oh, that's not really my taste. There are some very popular comics artists that aren't particularly to my taste, but because I have the background, because I've studied art for so long, I can still look at their work and be like, oh, it's good work. It just doesn't appeal to my taste all that much. right? But that's different from saying it's bad because I don't like it.
Right.
Right. Whereas, you know, I've certainly seen art where, you know, after looking at a few pages, I'm like, oh, this person is a little, is too reliant on photo reference, you know, and it's usually pretty clear when it's photo reference because it tends to be, you know, the drawings just tend to be very stiff. And, you know, part of that gets worked out with kinks, but then sometimes it's just, you know, I remember working on one project where we didn't know this at the time when we'd hired the artist, we'd seen some really cool sample pages. But the artist, you know, relied like exclusively on photo reference for all the character work while he's drawn this big superhero book where people are in very strange positions and they're like jumping out of cars that are falling off bridges while grabbing a sword that's falling in the air with them. And, you know, like, you know, just like these incredible things where they're running up the side of a building and stuff you can't really capture in the camera all that easily. And, you know, or somebody has the ability to ignite himself on fire. Well, probably not a good idea to try to replicate that for a photo shoot. And, you know, the artist was just really, really struggling. And at first we didn't really understand why. And I wound up on the phone talking to him and he was talking about like his process. And he was very open about like, oh yeah, well, I use photo reference for everything. And so he was just really struggling on that project. And, you know, the project was only a couple issues long. So we got through it kind of knowing that that was maybe not the project for him, but there might be another project more suited to those skills. And so, you know, the next project we put him on something where he was going to be a little bit more comfortable while he started working on those fundamentals. But he had that realization on that project of, I really do need to learn how to do this differently, how to construct so that he wasn't as reliant on the photo reference. And I think he was really frustrated. Sometimes, you know, I think he probably got really upset at that whole process. But I think ultimately, and I hope he would see it this way now, I haven't talked to him in a number of years, but hopefully he would see that as actually a net positive experience for his career, because he's since gone on and managed to be able to accomplish more and for his artwork to look more organic and all that sort of stuff. I don't know for sure that he would go, yeah, that was actually a really good learning experience. Like, oh, that was frustrating as all get out. And I kind of never want to talk to any of those people involved in that project ever again.
Sure.
But hopefully it was, you know, it was helpful. And I don't mean that to say, it's not like he was ever a jerk to me about it, but the frustration was certainly real. And you know, I mean, the fact that it's a deadline business does not help make things more pleasant. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you can get to a point, right? You can get so far using all these various tools, but if you just don't get the fundamentals down, you're in rough shape. So that's, you know, which is why they're fundamentals. I mean, we call them fundamentals because that's what they are.
Well, I think that's fundamentally a good place to stop. Hey, transitions. What other things are upcoming at Comics Experience or at CEX Publishing? And you got the anatomy or figure drawing with Philip coming up in March. Anything else that folks should be on the know about?
Yeah, we've got figure drawing. We've got Comic Book Law for Creators, which we offer about every 2 years or so. It's sort of the class that every comics creator needs to take, but probably no one is like, that sounds like fun. That one's coming up in July. We've got our storytelling classes coming up, our intros, our intro to writing. We've got I think some of our writing classes coming up have sold out already, but yeah, which is, you know, intro to coloring. Our lettering class is coming up very soon. So yeah, we've got, you know, we've got lots of great courses. And this year's slate of courses for 2022, I think, is really, really solid. It's a nice combination of advanced classes and intro classes. But in order to take the advanced classes, there are prerequisites. You need to take the, you know, some intro classes. But they're definitely worth doing. On the CEX Publishing side of things, I just got my purchase order from Diamond today for Honcho #1 and Past Last Mount #3. The Conqueror Worm, an adaptation of Edgar Allan Poe's poem by Clara Meath. She's amazing. Like, all of these things are coming out soon. Past the Last Mountain by Louis Joyce, Gannon Beck, Paul Aller is just a wonderful, wonderful story. It's a 4-issue miniseries. Each issue is double-sized. So we're really, really amping stuff up. We just solicited, well, I don't think the solicit's out yet, but Fred Van Lente and Steve Ellis, the book that launched their careers, Silencers, is being collected into a hardcover for the first time and has never before seen pages in it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's super cool. Those guys are phenomenal creators, you know, and so we're just really happy to be working with more established creators. You know, word is spreading that we're good to work with, and our contracts are good, so that's really nice. And then we're determined that we're always going to have spots in our publishing schedule for newer, younger creators, because that's what the industry needs. It needs a combination. It needs new blood. It needs experienced people. It needs all those things. And ultimately, we aim to make great comics and make comics better, a better place.
Can always use more comics.
So that's what's going on. That's what's going on. Really cool stuff.
More passionately made comics. I know Fred Van Lente is also going to be the instructor on a couple of those upcoming courses, including writing ongoing series and story arcs. Or story arcs, I guess, has already passed.
Yeah, or sold out. Yeah, I don't think it's actually happened yet for this week.
The sold out story arcs. So you got a chance to always read more from Fred is always a good thing.
Yeah, wonderful guy and a heck of a teacher too.
So. If you have questions you'd like to hear talked about on the show, email info@comicsexperience.com. We will talk to you and others about it here on the show. Thanks so much for listening. Go get some comics, and until next time, keep making comics.